And we've come expecting a blessing from the Lord. Thank you for your prayers this week. And several announcements in the bulletin for you to take note of. Remember, an important business meeting on the 30th, so make plans to be here. And as we get ready for revival, we're going to be collecting up Sam's Club and Walmart gift cards for the children's home. And then there's also a list out there. If you'd rather purchase something and put it, you can put it in the box that's out there in the foyer. And Brother Danny is going to take it back for us when he comes. So, be praying for that. Remember, if you haven't picked up your prayer journal, pick one up. There's several left in the vestibule, or you can download a copy on the church website. So remember that. If you have your Bibles this morning, I invite you to turn to Romans chapter 8. This morning we're going to look at verses 18 through 30. So this is one of my favorite passages of Scripture. It's a great chapter. And the verses that we're going to look at today sometimes are terribly misapplied. We take verse 28 and we take it way out of context, try to make it mean things that it doesn't really mean. And so we're going to talk about that some today. Paul does a great job in these 13 verses giving us the middle story of bookends. And we have to remember that though we chop up Scripture when we read it, we don't read the whole thing, you know, straight through. But we need to remember that Paul wrote it all together. In other words, it was meant to be read kind of like a book. You don't, take a book and just take a page and say, well, this is what this... You've got to take the whole story in context, wrapped up together. And Paul in Romans chapter 8 does a great job giving bookend kind of a testimony of what the Christian life is all about and how we live a successful Christian life. So let's take a look and see the suggestions that he gives us. Verse 18 says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because of creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that while the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now, not only that, but we also have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. And we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not yet hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. For we know that we should pray, for when we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts and knows the mind of the Spirit is because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he has predestined, he is also called. And whom he has called, he is also justified. And whom he justified, these he is also glorified. And so Paul gives us a great glimpse of hope and a reminder of what the Christian life is all about. There are some that, you know, take verse 28 especially and say that the Christian life is just supposed to be a bed of roses, and that if you're walking with Christ and you're doing what you're supposed to, then it's kind of like a Midas touch, and you're just going to be blessed and happy and find that, you know, just everything goes your way. Well, those that are Christians and have walked with the Lord know that's not the way it works. And so Paul gives us, and if anybody knew that that's not how it worked, it was the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul had been through struggles already by the time he wrote the letter to the church in Rome. And throughout his life, he experienced, remember, arrests and scourgings and, you know, just all kinds of crazy stuff that, you know, he was left for dead. And so we would have understood if Paul threw in the towel and said, forget this. But he never did. He was faithful. So that at the end of his life, he could say to Paul in 2 Timothy, I've fought the good fight, and I've finished the course. I've run the race that is set before me. And so Paul reminds us here in this chapter first of all, the Christian life is full of hardness. The Christian life is not always easy. But Paul says, hey, listen, I am certain, I absolutely know that the struggles that I face now and the persecutions and the things that we have going on with us, the sufferings of this present time, are nowhere near worthy, nowhere near compare to what Christ has in store for us. And by the way, the reminder that the Christian life takes endurance and perseverance is all throughout Scripture. Scripture reminds us over and over and over, hang in there, don't give up. That's the whole message of the book of Hebrews, is don't give up, don't turn away from your faith. And so we find that encouragement throughout all of Scripture that we're to hang in there. Well, the reason why we need that admonition and that reminder so often is because the Christian life is full of difficult things. Sometimes it's disappointment. Sometimes it's pain. Sometimes it's family issues. Sometimes it might be, you know, financial issues. But there are struggles that we all have in the Christian life. It is not a bed of roses. And we shouldn't expect it to be. And oftentimes, in fact, the Bible says that we are to rejoice when we find persecution, because it means that we are following Christ and that we're standing out from the world. For people to persecute, they have to be able to see something different in you. They have to know that you've made some kind of different decision that sets you apart. And that in itself can be hard. There are places in this world, and there's even, you know, certain sects of religious families in the United States that when a family member becomes a Christian, they're ostracized. They're kicked out of the family. And the family no longer has anything to do with them. I tell you, that's got to be hard. It might even be harder than being beaten for your faith or being imprisoned for your faith. But the Christian life is full of hardness, and we need to hang in there. And by the way, part of hanging in there is remembering those who are going through hard times. Because it may not be our season to go through a hard time, but when it's not, we need to be mindful of those who are going through hard times and pray for them and encourage them. Why? Because our time of hard times will be coming around the corner, and we'll need that. And so the Christian life is full of hardness, but then he reminds us of something else, and he gives us the tool and reminder of how we're able to hang in there, and that is this, that the Christian life is enabled by our helper. He says, listen, friend, remember that, yeah, this world is groaning and it has difficulties and we're constantly going through these pangs and these, the struggles that we're going through, yearning for something different, knowing that there's something better. And yet we hang in there, we persevere. And so he says in verse 26, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. When we don't know how to pray, he prays for us. He's there for us. He reminds us constantly of God's presence in our life. The Holy Spirit gives us that hope that Peter says is a hope that surpasses all understanding, that we're supposed to be ready to give an answer for, that we're supposed to help be ready to explain to people why, when all the world is falling apart, we're not. Christians ought to be level-headed, and I see a lot of people posting crazy stuff on Facebook and making crazy statements that the world is ending and everything's just crazy, and things are crazy in our world, but they're not hopeless in our world, because with Christ there is hope. And Christ is working, and the Holy Spirit is working inside of us and inside of His church. And the Scriptures say even the Holy Spirit's working on us before we come to know the Lord. That Jesus said that no one can come to the Father unless the Spirit draws him. And so even our seeking after God really is an act of grace and mercy from God Himself. And so the Holy Spirit is our helper. Jesus said, you remember, he was getting ready to go. His disciples said, we don't want you to go. And Jesus said, unless I go, it's good for you that I go. Because when I go, I will not leave you as orphans, but I'll send you a comforter, a helper, someone to walk with you and beside you and help equip you. And that's exactly what the Holy Spirit does. And part of the Holy Spirit's ministry there is what's mentioned in that last verse we read, verse 30. It's the Holy Spirit that works in us, that helps us to respond to God's call and to understand that we stand before God justified. But ultimately, we'll be glorified. And so we see this progressive story that goes on throughout this picture. So he talks about at the beginning, there's pangs and there's trials, there's persecution, there's suffering. But at the end, what happens? Glorification. And so the Holy Spirit is there with us and guides us and directs us and assures us of our inheritance. And so we are instantly saved. When you ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart, at that moment you're as saved as you're ever going to be. You are fully justified. But you're not fully like Christ just yet, are you? And so part of the ministry of the Holy Spirit and part of what this predestination that the Scriptures talk about here is not that God chose some for heaven and some for hell. It was a predetermining of what would happen when somebody came to know the Lord. And what would happen is that they would become like Jesus. And that only can happen by the Holy Spirit working in our life and equipping and changing and transforming us. Because Paul, remember what he's reminded us? He reminded us in chapter 7. Hey, listen, when you try to do it on your own, you're going to make the wrong choice all the time. And so what's the point? Don't make the choice by yourself. Don't be a dummy. Let the helper help you. And so the Christian life is enabled by the Holy Spirit. We can't do it without Him, and we need Him working more and more in our life. Because you see, as we're saved 100%, and we're as saved as we're ever going to be, and we have the Holy Spirit. Scripture says that when we're saved, the Holy Spirit comes into our life and He's there, bam-o. And we have all of Him. The question and the problem, though, is He oftentimes doesn't have all of us. And that's where the problem comes. And that's where the work of sanctification is taking place, making us more and more and more like Jesus. So that when we do pass from this life to the next, we look just like Him. A scary thing, but they say that a lot of times your dogs start looking like their people. That's a scary thing. Especially for the dog. Jesus intends for us to have a family resemblance to Him. And so when God says, listen, Paul is saying, God takes the sufferings that we go through and He turns and He works them for good. He brings them up for our benefit. Now, I've known people who came to know Christ because of the death of a loved one or a friend or somebody that had wandered away from the Lord, that some kind of tragedy had caused him to wake up. That is part of God bringing good out of bad things. To help us to grow closer to the Lord. And so then lastly this morning, we need to remember, not only is the Christian life full of hardness, and it's enabled by our helper, lastly, the Christian life is leading to our wholeness. Our wholeness. Paul says that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. For who He foreknew, He predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. We were created, and you remember that creation, when we look back in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, but Adam and Eve walked with God. They had perfect fellowship with God. And then sin entered the world, and everything just went to pot quick, and it hadn't gotten any better since. Sin broke and continues to break mankind's fellowship with God. And that's what creates these pangs and this yearnings and the that Paul's talking about here in these verses. That we know that we are created for something so much more. And in the end, in the last few verses of this chapter that we'll look at next week, he's going to give us a reminder about that more. But the point here is that we are to, when we're made whole, we're less like us. We look less like us and more like Jesus. And that's how it's supposed to be. That's how we're made whole. That's that perfect fellowship that we yearn for. That emptiness that every human being feels is not, you know, that they feel, try to, so many feel with alcohol or drugs or money or possession. None of those things can fill that hole and that yearning that's inside, because that yearning can only be satisfied by God Himself. And so when we find Christ, that process of sanctification, being made whole, being made into the likeness of Jesus Christ begins. And as we walk this earth, however long that might be, it is a process of us becoming more and more and more like Jesus, because that's how we were created to be. Before sin entered the world, Adam and Eve knew perfect fellowship with God. Sin broke that. And the Bible reveals to us, it's an unfolding story of how God is bringing a solution to that problem that came by sin. It's taken a long, long time, but the Bible assures us that eventually God does defeat sin. And the world, even creation, is made new. The book of Revelation says that this old sinful world goes away, and God makes a new heaven and a new earth that has the absence of sin. In fact, it says that there's no need of the sun there, because Jesus is there, and He's the light that, you know, provides the illumination for that place, because there's an absence of sin. And so the Christian life, the good and the sufferings, are all part of God making us whole. That God intends for us to, you remember John the Baptist said when Jesus came, he said, you know what? I must decrease so that He might increase. And so the point of the Holy Spirit's operating in our life is helping us look less like us and looking more like Jesus. We all have probably known people, hopefully we have a lot of people that come to our mind that when you look at them and when you're around them, you just know that they are people that walk with Jesus. So when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, he had a glow about him. People knew that, you know, and they were afraid to even look at Moses because he had this glow about him. And there are people, and I'm not saying they, you know, literally glow, but I think you know what I mean. You know, that there's just this sense that you have of being in their presence, that you know that they walk with God. That doesn't come overnight. Those people that I think of that are like that, none of them are teenagers. They're seasoned saints. Some of them have gone on to be with the Lord now. And I think the reason why that it's that way is because it's the process of growing in Christ and being made whole is that constant process. And I hope God will remind us, listen, hang in there and endure the sufferings that might come your way, because even the sufferings, those things you think are bad, God is working and will bring good out of it and will bring ultimate glorification for you. Not that your names are written in lights and you're famous and on the news and all that kind of stuff, but that your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And when you stand before Him, you hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant. I hope that's... And so, but if we give up, if we give in, we miss that reward. And we miss what God intends and wants to do in our life in making us whole. And so remember, as we walk the Christian life, it's not a sprint. It's not a 400-meter dash. It's a marathon. And we need to train like it's a marathon. And we need to endure like it's a marathon. I've never run one. I don't know that I'd survive 26 miles. I've walked 13 miles before. I did do that. It took me a good while, but I did it. There are people that run those marathons, you know, in just lickety-split time. Sarah probably could do it. But you know what? There'd be some distance. For me, it'd probably be a quarter mile. But there's some distance into the race, your feet get tired. You say, man, I don't want to do this today. And then cramps hit your tummy. And then your legs start cramping. I'm just going to give up. But those runners, when those times come, what do? If they want to win the race, they push through that. And they find a second wind. And they're able to finish the race. Paul says that the Christian life is like that. That there's times you want to give up. There's times when it gets hard. But that's when you press on and you keep going. And when you do, you find the blessings of God. You find God working even through those circumstances that you thought were bad, you know, and they probably were. And maybe you wish you wouldn't have had to go through them. And yet, even in those hard times, God brought you through it. And was working to make you whole. Making you more and more like Jesus. So my prayer and aim is that when people look at me and when people look at you, they see more and more of Jesus. Because you hang in there. So let's stand together and we'll be dismissed in prayer. I hope that's your aim and prayer, that God would help us to hang in there. Even through the sufferings, even through the difficulties and the hard times. Brother Carl, would you dismiss us in prayer this morning, please?